It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you wish to be on the program, I want to actually go out of the gates to Felicia, who's been waiting patiently. It is an open line Friday, so you can call in yourselves and talk about stuff not necessarily on the agenda, like Felicia wants to do. And I'm going to build a whole statement of truth around what I think we're going to talk about. Maybe. I don't know. Felicia, don't screw up now. You have to make me look good. Welcome to the program.
Okay, thanks for taking my call. I'm a day late. I really had a comment about the abortion argument yesterday. I just don't understand why we're still having this conversation about abortion instead of making women take responsibility for their reproductive health. Ooh. And I know that that's Ooh. Not a popular. I know that's not popular.
Yep.
But we even have the morning after pill now, which I'm assuming is still being given if you've, you know, been involved in sexual assault.
Yeah,
you have
by the
option
way,
of taking that.
You should know that at the Supreme Court on Wednesday, abortion rights activists were popping the morning after pill in display, which made it sound almost more like they were taking some sort of religious communion in their advocacy of it. So let me talk to you about this, and I'm glad you called in, because I'm going to go where angels fear to tread and where men on conservative talk radio probably should not. With the exception of rape and sexual assault, having sex is a choice. And how you have sex is a choice. And I think we can say and probably should say that by making it as riskless as possible and as consequence-free, we have severed the act from the function of the act to reproduce. And there are plenty of people who want the enjoyment of it without the consequence of it. And we should, well, what the hell, might as well. Oh boy. You know, there's an emotional connection that comes with it, and there is a bit of psychic trauma, I think, that happens when you separate that connection from that act. And I don't think it leads to good places in society and the cultural waste that happens when we do that. And I realize we talk about it, it's your free choice to decide what you want to do with it. We make birth control as readily available as possible. I still think we should make the pill over the counter. I don't think you should have to have a doctor's prescription at this point to get it. But I do think that you shouldn't be able to escape from the consequences of your choice. And abortion is, in some cases, used as a form of birth control. And we should also be very honest about something else that we're not supposed to talk about. They have politicized the science on abortion and the health factor and health risks of having repeated abortions, both the risks of making it harder and harder to have children. And, you know, There is some research out there that shows a link to health effects, negative health effects from having abortions, but the pro-abortion people have worked overtime to pollute it and discredit it. And I don't think when you actually look at the data, you can discredit it, but my gosh, you bring it up and it is like a ferociousness. The hounds of hell come after you when you bring that up, but it's just the truth. Part of the problem with science these days is we politicize it so much, whether it's transgenderism or abortion, you name it, where suddenly you've got political activists as scientists and scientists as political activists who obfuscate the science or pollute the science to try to get where they want. And there actually is a body of evidence out there and research that shows that repeated abortions elevate the risks of cancer and sterility and things like that. But, oh, you're not allowed to talk about that. And I'm sure they will come after me today for having talked about it and trying to discredit me and discredit that science. But, you know, you can go read the research yourself. You can certainly read the people who discredit the research. You should, but then read the research and the people who actually advocate and suggest the research is sound. There is an entire PR campaign out there on the left. And now why? See, Felicia, I told you, if you're still listening, I wasn't going to go there, but now I'm going to go there. It's all your fault. Abortion is a sacrament in the religion of the left. You know what? There's no such thing as an atheist. I know some of you say you're an atheist, because I get the angry emails from people who want to debate me on religion. Some of you say you're an atheist. There is no God. You know, just because you don't believe in God doesn't mean he doesn't believe in you. And just because you say there is no God doesn't mean there isn't. You say there's no evidence for God. I say there's no evidence for there not being a God. You say, well, it's all a Big Bang. Well, what was before the Big Bang? You don't know. I know. There was something that caused a reaction, that caused a spark of energy from nothing, that created an entire universe and a sentient being on a planet. And there's it starts to sound over time like maybe there is a God. There's some organized order of it. There are rules, mathematical rules and physics that are laying it out in an orderly process. We can begin to understand at some point that whole thing begins to look like a creator, whether you call it the divine or not. There's something there. And you can be a believer of one of the many religions on planet Earth, or you can be a believer in atheism. And atheism itself is a religion. It's an anti-theist religion, but it's a religion. You worship something. Every single one of you listening to me right now worships something. Our minds are perpetual factories of idols. You worship something. You may not think of it in that way. You're not getting up on a Saturday or Sunday and going to some place to actually like commune with other people, unless you're into CrossFit. But you worship something. You idolize something. You value something. You see something that's greater than yourself. Where you give your money, your time, and your energy tends to be what you worship. Now, some of you say, well, I don't give my time and energy other than to work. Well, then you worship your work. As an aside, I know what I'm talking about on that. Y'all, I shouldn't say that. This is the hour of Eric saying the things he shouldn't say. If I could do my job all the time, I love my job. Now, I got to tell you, I was doing 6 straight hours of talk radio for a while, and it'll like to kill me. I at least need to get up for an hour or two and stretch. I was doing so much, I haven't told you all the story, but I was sitting for so long every day doing talk radio, I got clots in my lungs again a while back. Just not moving, not sitting. I didn't have a standing desk. But for a while, I was doing 5 hours of radio, and I had a break in between of a few hours, and my gosh, I could do that. You know, I have a lot of stations in Georgia. If I could do a 4th hour of radio, and it would just be the Georgia hour, and the rest of you nationally didn't have to hear me talk about Georgia, oh, I would do that in a heartbeat, probably for free. I love my job. I risk worshiping my job. I love it. Shut up, Big Farmer Jr. I'll do it for free for you, but we better talk to my agent first. 1 more hour on just Georgia. But y'all, I love my job. And so I get it. I get the workaholic. I get it. I mean, I would do this on the weekend. I love it. I love being here with you guys. we all worship something. You either worship the real thing, the real creator, or you worship something else. And for a lot of people who have become secularists, who've fallen out of worship of the real creator, who worship creation, abortion is their sacrament. And it's not, there's nothing new under the sun. It is the same thing that happened thousands of years ago. It is sacrifice to Moloch. You know, 5,000 years ago in the Middle East, the tribes of the Middle East would sacrifice children to Moloch for a good harvest. Now you have environmentalists advocating for abortion to save the planet. There is no difference. Before the Supreme Court, you had religious people there praying, chanting, singing, and taking morning after pills, worshiping together in defense of abortion rights. You also had Catholics and Protestants and Orthodox there worshiping together against it. You had Sonia Sotomayor on the bench at the Supreme Court trying to say it was all about religion. It was all a when does life begin is a religious argument to her.
Ability line discounts and disregards state interests, and the undue burden standard has all of the problems that
we
emphasize.
How is your interest anything but a religious view? The issue of when life begins has been hotly debated by philosophers since the beginning of time. It's still debated in religions. So when you say this is the only right that takes away from the state the ability to protect a life, that's a religious view, isn't it? Because it assumes that a fetus is life at when? You're not drawing here. When do you suggest we begin that life?
Your Honor,
Putting it aside from religion. It's a religious statement in and of itself that life doesn't begin at conception because under the definitions of biology, life begins at conception. The cells begin to multiply. A reaction begins to happen. Y'all remember a few years ago, now it's been more than a decade probably, they found that meteorite in Antarctica that they were sure had come from Mars based on its composition, and they found a cellular, what appeared to be a fossilized cellular organism in it, and they were celebrating life on Mars. Y'all remember that? When did that life begin? It was a single cellular organism. They're in search of life on Mars even now. It's crazy to me that what we would call a zygote, the when the sperm and the egg get together and they begin to create that new life, that we want to give it less protections than if we were to find a virus on Mars, my gosh, the amount of celebrity there would be for that virus that we found on Mars, a bacteria, that microbe. It's all religion. You may not think it's religion, but it's all religion. Every single one of you, including the people who think the argument by faith is a ridiculous argument, you put your faith in something. You put your faith in science to tell you what happens. There's a lot of things science can't tell you. There's a lot of stuff that science can't actually explain. You, by faith, presume there will be a scientific explanation. By faith, you believe that the universe was created from nothing. What came before the universe? You don't know. It's all religion. The reaction of abortion activists is the reaction of an idolatrous people who worship something, themselves or something else. That's what it is. And when you worship something else and it becomes religious, you don't have to take responsibility for that portion of your religion. You don't have to take responsibility for your God. Your God takes responsibility for you. So when the sex act becomes part of that religion, you no longer have to take responsibility for the byproduct of that. You can end that because it's all part of your religion. You're not taking responsibility for it. You're engaged in a religious act. A sacrament of your religion is giving money to Planned Parenthood and supporting abortion, if not having an abortion. That may offend some of you, but it's religious science. There's no such thing as no religion. It just takes different forms. And some of you just worship science, and you have no answer for what comes before the Big Bang. And you know what? I do. The answer, let the listener understand, is I am. All right, those of you on the phones, do me a favor, please, and just hang out for a few more minutes because I don't have a long segment here and I want to be able to get to your phone calls. The rest of you, if you want to call in, 877-973-7425. Well, I just completely went off the rails with Felicia there. This is why I like Fridays, though, because you guys can spark commentary from me. I'm already getting the hate mail. But I'm right, and you know it. Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman has told Senator Jeff Merkley that the Biden administration wants to slow down and water down the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act. That's pretty incredible. The Biden administration is pretty terrible on China. Josh Rogan writes for The Washington Post. This week, a private UK-based investigative panel released what it says are classified Chinese government documents that appear to show how Chinese President Xi Jinping personally laid the groundwork for the systemic forced assimilation of ethnic minorities in Xinjiang. It's the most damning proof to date of the ongoing Uyghur genocide. So why can't Congress pass a simple bill to stop the products connected to that genocide from ending up in the U.S.? The documents revealed by the New York Times over 2 years ago from the same tranche of leaked Chinese Communist Party communications add to abundant evidence that the Chinese government's mass internment, mass forced labor, forced population control, family detention, and cultural erasure of the Uyghurs fit the definition of genocide. Yet the Democratic Congress can't seem to get the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act passed. It turns out it's the Biden administration that's blocking it. Marco Rubio also said U.S. corporations that profit from forced labor in China, like Apple and Nike, are lobbying against the bill. That's true. Nancy Pelosi denied Marco Rubio's allegations of stalling and promised that the House would pass their version of the legislation. They've passed it once, 406-3. They're going to pass it again. But the Senate is now saying, and administration sources are confirming, that the Biden State Department is blocking the legislation in the Senate. They're trying to get it slowed down. Jeff Merkley is a Democratic senator from Oregon. He's one of the co-sponsors. Wendy Sherman at the State Department says that the administration wants a targeted, deliberative approach as opposed to a blanket prohibition on buying from forced labor. That's incredible. That's incredible. The administration, you should know, is publicly saying they support it. The administration, the Biden administration, is publicly saying they support the Forced Labor Prevention Act on the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act. But in private, Jeff Merkley, a Democratic senator from Oregon, is acknowledging that it is the Biden administration behind the scenes that is trying to stop it from being passed, even as in public, the Biden administration says they want it. This sort of duplicitousness is allowing genocide to fester. It's horrifying. We may need an action item on this one. We may need, you should text the word ARMY to 33777, sign up for the Action Army, and we may need to get everyone to start emailing their members of Congress. I may have to set something up on this. Join the Army of Activists because we need to get this legislation passed, and the Biden administration needs to stop opposing it. And understand, in public, they're saying they're doing nothing to obstruct it. In private, even Democrats in the Senate are saying the Biden administration is blocking the legislation. This is unacceptable. We got to work on this. All right, when we come back, I do want to spend some time with the rest of you on your phone calls. I'm sorry. Just be patient with me. We got a lot of people who want to call in. 877-973-7425. If you want to be a part of the program, we also got to talk about Mitch McConnell. A buddy of mine just sent me a screenshot of a group working with the New Orleans Archdiocese and their charter school program. I'll just leave it here. Marlo Berea, and then in parentheses, they, them, theirs, works in education and reproductive justice. Oh, they always, you got to be vigilant. You know, what was it? Is it Roger Heinlein? I forget who the rule, who said the rule that any organization not explicitly designed to be conservative will one day become progressive. That's what happens. All right. It's time to take phone calls. It is an open line Friday. 877-97-ERIC. 877-973-7425. Alex, you're going to be up first. Welcome.
Hey, yeah, I got a quick question for you. You know, first off, thanks for appreciate everything you do. You guys do a good little setup, man. Definitely sets everything in perspective when you start putting politics way in front of everything else. So it's good to have that setback. Just a couple questions. I'm a Georgia native, and you know, on the upcoming governor race, and I'll ask you, make a point and ask your question, and I'll let you go. But you know, I was just curious. At what point does these is Purdue really online with doing this and going in with Trump? Because I just find it hard to believe that he seems like a good guy, and I've been, you know, like I said, as a Georgia native, that he could really sit there and see that this could not turn out well if, you know, in the primary, because I, you know, we all know that Stacey Abrams, in my opinion, is a snake, and she's probably just sitting back waiting.
Yeah, oh, she wants and, a bloody you know, Republican primary. She absolutely does.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will tell you, I've had a couple people tell me that he could announce as soon as next week. I hope he doesn't. Man. And let me yeah. just say, it would be very costly. I think that the Kemp ads yep. kind of write themselves that David Perdue bailed on a debate against a guy who dressed up as a Jedi. And okay. yeah, and that Kemp beat Abrams and Perdue didn't beat Ossoff. But I need to say this, and this gets to something you said originally. David Perdue is a great guy. I genuinely, yep. genuinely like the man a lot. The problem I found in politics is that oftentimes you get surrounded by people who tell you not what you need to hear, but what you want to hear. And if you want to hear that I can beat Kemp, you're going to be surrounded by people who tell you that because they want to in on the action too. And that happens a lot, particularly among more wealthy individuals in politics. It becomes very easy to get grifted. And I'm afraid something like that is happening. Now, Purdue won before, and I didn't support him the last time when he ran the first time. I supported my friend Karen Handel against him because I just really assumed, given his background as a CEO and unknown, that he would be terrible. And he was a great senator. He was. And so I was so happy the second time and backed him. And I was so upset when he lost, and he barely lost to Ossoff. But he lost, and he lost – because Republicans talk themselves out of voting. And I wish he wouldn't do this because it'd be such a nasty primary.
And I guess that leads to my question is, because I'm with you, I was a Trump supporter like you. I donated to his campaign, but now I think it's like you, I think it's time to move on. And, you know, and Republicans do a good enough job eating or, you know, screwing it up on our own without the help of Democrats. And so that's why, you know, is there a way, you know, to reach out to him or reach out to his campaign as like, you know, the general public to say, you know, hey, this might not be what's best for the state and all that stuff.
Well, I'll tell you, I have heard multiple people have told me that he's been calling, reaching out to various donors and trying to get their support. And some of them are telling him not to do it and they won't support him and that they're getting frozen out after that. I don't know whether by him or by his staff. But if you're calling people and they say you shouldn't do it and then they're getting blacklisted, that's not a good sign. But I hope he does it. And look, Alex, I'll let you go there. I appreciate the phone call. The phone number here, 877-973-7425. And I feel the need to reiterate this. I genuinely do like David Perdue. I like the man. I think he is a solid guy. I think his wife is a wonderful person. I like them tremendously. I think David Perdue was a very good senator. I frankly think if David Perdue were governor, he'd be a good governor. He's got a good business mind. But I think it's a terrible idea for him to run against Brian Kemp, and I will support Brian Kemp. because we need unity. And there are a whole lot of people who want to divide up the Republican Party, break it into factions. And frankly, President Trump is one of those people who wants the support and the loyalty. And it's about him. It's not about David Perdue. And I'm sure when everybody's whispering in your ear, do it, do it, do it, do it, you get to thinking it's about yourself, and it's not. It's about President Trump avenging his loss. It's about payback for him. It's not about Perdue. And I don't think that Perdue needs to get himself in a position, which he would be doing, even though he would rationalize it in a different way. The truth is he would be doing it as an instrument of Donald Trump's vengeance, not as a candidate running for governor. And if you're going to run for something, you shouldn't run as a tool for someone else. You should run with your own agenda. And as much as he wants to say it would be his own agenda and claim that Brian Kemp's done this, that, and the other wrong, this would all be about vengeance for Donald Trump. And David Perdue would not be able to be his own man in that regard. I like the man. This is a disastrous idea for the state of Georgia if he were to do something like that. Now, let's go back to the phones, 877-973-7425. Let's go to Keith. You're going to be up next. Welcome.
Hey, Eric. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You're talking about the failure of the education system, and if you want tangible proof of that, look no further than the ASVAB. I'm a recruiter and a substitute teacher, and when I enlisted in 2004, they considered a 50 average intelligence. And early 2010s, they lowered it down to a 31. And now the Army is experimenting with going down as low as 16 to get people in.
Jeez.
And yes.
Wow.
I've even had experiences of kids trying to enlist, and they couldn't read basic English, but the schools had to pass them.
Man, so I got to tell you, I was, my brother-in-law was a Navy recruiter in Natchez, Mississippi. And so it's kind of funny there. Now, okay, so Keith, you were in the Army, my brother-in-law in the Navy. When I grew up overseas, my parents would always host the enlisted in the 5th Fleet. They'd come to Dubai for the dry docks and stuff. So it was very natural that my oldest sister would one day want to join the Navy or wind up dating a sailor. She wound up getting married to one. He was the Navy recruiter, and he had me take the ASVAB. I didn't know what I was even taking. I was just, this was basically my brother-in-law, Paul, while he was dating my sister, babysitting me one day. I was in 12th. I was in 11th grade and got an 80 on the ASVAB. And he basically spent the next year trying to recruit me into the Navy.
Yep.
And now we just keep lowering the standards. Oh my gosh. It really is sad. And you know, let me ask you this, and I don't want you to get in trouble here, so don't talk out of turn. But I keep hearing the stories about the military, not just with the ASVAB, but overall lowering and getting rid of impediments to recruitment that they used to have because, one, there are a lot of people who don't want to be recruited, I guess, because of the Iraq and Afghanistan war, but two, as well, just the standards that can't be met beyond just the ABFAB score.
I'm not really sure about all that, but I can say that it is getting more and more difficult just because, like, everyone's on ADHD medicine nowadays. Everyone sits around. We actually have a major problem with people getting stress fractures in their hips and legs because of the sedentary lifestyle they have now. So,
ooh, gosh.
Your drill sergeant actually has to give you a protein cookie every day while you're in basic training. So,
good grief.
Yep.
You know, maybe, so I got a brilliant idea. Someone needs to patent this, Keith. We make a gun where the trigger is a joystick, and we can tell them they're playing Call of Duty or Fortnite and do it that way. Maybe that'll get it some more. Gosh. Listen, I appreciate you calling in, Keith. Thank you very much. Have a great rest of the day. The phone number, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425, if you would like to be on this program. Glad to have you with me. This is one of the big issues here. I struggle with this with my kid. We've started playing golf. I'm actually going to go get fitted for new golf clubs this afternoon. I, y'all, My buddy Jeff, we did the Bourbon and Butts thing last night. He was there. I made the mistake of teasing him. I'd given him a good cigar when we played golf last Friday, and we got halfway through the golf course, and he lost it, and I was teasing him. He didn't know how expensive it was. So he sent me money last night, and I feel like, man, I should have never picked on him. I feel guilty that he felt the need to send me money. But we're going to go play golf again. I'm going to get better because there's apparently a golf company. A buddy of mine says I'm a real snob for getting golf clubs from this company. I've got a golf fitting, PXG. I don't know anything about them, but they apparently make good golf clubs for people who suck at golf. And my golf clubs are about 20 years old. I'm going to have to give them to Philip so he can go play with me and still be bad. And I'm going to do this largely because, you know, when I was in law school, I worked for a hiring partner at a firm who also did the parties, and he could take the unopened liquor bottles back to the liquor store after a party was over, and they would give him his money back, but he couldn't take the beer back. So he would give it to me and my buddies and I. We got great at drinking beer on the golf course, and we're terrible golfers to this day. I mean, people talk about their handicap. My handicap is 91 on the first hole, and it goes downhill from there, but I love to do it. And I have no idea why I started this. It popped into my head, and it was relevant to something I was saying. I know what it was. Aha! Forgive me. My kid, I've been taking him to play golf, and it gets him off a screen and out of the house. I just, as an aside, I got to tell you all, we struggle as parents. And, you know, I hear people say, when I have a kid, he'll never have a screen. I'll never give my child a cell phone. We won't have any gaming devices in our house. Shut the hell up, people. You don't know what you're talking about. You want them because your kids don't leave you alone and you're trying to make supper and have to entertain them. So you hand them the iPad. And then they keep the iPad. And there are many days where that's not a bad thing. My wife yesterday, I was in Atlanta. She was at home. Our kids' school, y'all, go get your flu shot. As an aside, go get your flu shot. Our children's school is shut today. Everybody's got the flu. My kids got the flu shot, and my 12-year-old is homesick with a fever. Not COVID. There's something else going around as well. But my daughter's fine, but every kid in her 10th grade class has the flu now. And something like 70% of their elementary school has the flu. It is just burning through the school. Nobody got the flu shot because why get the flu? The flu's gone away. Everybody's getting the COVID shot. No, go get your flu shot because, you know, my pharmacist, Laura, at Publix, Publix grocery stores, my pharmacy, and she saw me walking by a few weeks ago and she said, Erickson, you need to get your flu shot because your wife, we are starting to see people get the flu. You need your flu shot. And I'm glad I got it because they are being overwhelmed with the flu at my doctor's office. It is becoming a thing. So go get your flu shot. But with my kid, we had to get him off screens because he's having this problem and his friends. And I'm seeing kids his age who are slumped over because they're looking down at their phone and they're getting all hunchback and stuff. It is a real problem. I thought people were exaggerating the problem. No, sirree, Bob, they are not exaggerating the problem. We got a problem with kids staring at the screens. And don't lecture me on, well, you should have given your experience. It's easy for you to say when your children grew up before the internet or you don't have children. When your children are plugged into this world, denying them a screen on occasion, oh, my gosh. People, live in the real world, please. Don't lecture me on my parenting skills. My parenting skills are fine. Sometimes you just need a break from your kid. I will say this, though. We had to take him all away except on the weekends because he was using them too much. So he's not allowed to use them during the school week. It's amazing how much more engaged and talkative he is without a screen. He looks at this screen all day long and doesn't say a word, and now we put it away. And my wife and I are looking at us. Can we give the kid the screen so he'll shut up? I mean, we love our kid. Don't get me wrong. It's just amazing to see his personality come out when he's not behind a screen. All right. Do I have time to take? Yes, I'm going to take a phone call real quick. Dan, I'm going to go to you next. Welcome.
Yes, thank you, Eric. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a question about this, the abortion debate. Concerning a unborn child, is it a person? It is a human, but is it a person? My question is, if it's not a person, and I caused the death of a pregnant woman's unborn child by, say, a car accident, I can be charged with a felony. I believe they say infanticide if I wreck my car into her recklessly and she loses her child. However, therefore, you're saying that child has rights because I'm being charged with a crime. But yet, if that mother decides to end that unborn child's life willingly, then it's not a
problem. Right.
That's my question.
This is the absurdity of the logic in the abortion debate, Dan, that the child is a child if the mother wants the child to be a child, and if the mother doesn't want the child to be a child, then the child is not a child. And you should not have to rely on someone else to give you personhood. That's, again, one of the arguments of the slaveholders in the South before the Civil War, that's part of the problem in the debate here. I mean, what about the mother who decides to terminate her pregnancy and on the way to the abortion clinic gets in a car wreck and the child is killed? Does she collect money on the child, or does she pay the guy for the cost of the abortion? I mean, it's a horrible thing to say, I realize, but I mean, this is the logic of the game here. When you allow someone the choice of bestowing personhood on someone else, it should not be someone's choice. You either are a person or you are not. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Y'all, I got to tell you, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is there on sale right now. You can get the 3-pack. It's a good deal, particularly if you want to give 3 friends an Eden Pure Thunderstorm and save some money along the way. You get $200 off. You get them, all 3 of them, for less than $200, and you get free shipping. What you do is go to EdenPureDeals.com, EdenPureDeals.com. You click on my name, Eric Erickson. You put the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack in your cart, and at checkout, you use the discount code ERIC3, E-R-I-C-K 3. Not the word 3, the number 3, ERIC3. Miracle of miracles, behold! You get $200 off. You get all 3 of them for less than $200, and you get free shipping. So you get one for upstairs, one for downstairs, one for your car or your basement, or you give 3 different people 3 of them, or give one person 3 of them, or give one person 2 of them and another person 1 of them. It works. It cleans the air. It doesn't just clean the air. It eliminates odors. That's why I love it, is because it eliminates the odors. You go to EdenPureDeals.com. Your discount code is ERIC3 at checkout. Yes, you can call in. It's an open line Friday as well. Braves, I know there are management members at the Braves who are listening to my program right now, because they email me. Have you signed Freddie Freeman yet? I'm waiting for the announcement. He apparently wants something like $108 million spread out over a number of years. Give him what the man wants. He's earned it, and he will make you a ton of money. You won't go broke. You won't. You know, I was listening. I can't play you the whole thing. There's a lockout in Major League Baseball. It's not really that big of a deal. They're not going to miss any games. Spring season starts soon, but not too soon. The thing is, there is a problem in baseball. I don't know necessarily that they need a cap like other sports have. But what do you do to the smaller teams when you've got the Yankees, you got the Dodgers, you got billionaire owners, you got a company like Liberty Media owning the Braves? What do you do for the smaller teams and the smaller markets that can never compete and never have a chance because of the way the funding system works in baseball? That I get those concerns. I really do genuinely get those concerns. The small market teams you need, how do you deal with them? And Major League Baseball thus far doesn't have a solution. It looks like maybe they're working on one, and that'll be good for the good of the game. We need that game to survive. It's America's pastime. When we come back, we'll your calls.